That's good stuff, isn't it? That's good. Well, we're going to continue on our series on partnering in the gospel. And today I'm really excited to introduce someone to you that comes from South Austin, who's the lead pastor of Bannockburn Baptist Church. And his name is Pastor Ryan Rush. So would you please extend a warm welcome with me?
Appreciate you, buddy. Honored to be here. Well, good morning. Welcome from South Austin, the best part of Austin, in my humble opinion, but this is a wonderful part as well, and we're brothers. I shouldn't have said that just right from the start, should I have? What an honor to be here. I want you to know something, first of all. Your pastor, Tim Hawks, is one of my favorite people in the whole world, and a great, great blessing, not only to me, but to this entire city and to the pastors here. So I'm deeply honored to be here. And I feel like we're kindred spirits. A wise man once said that a Bible church is really a Baptist church with a really cool website. And so I think we're pretty much the same. After watching this morning, I think what it is a Bible church is a Baptist church where everybody wears jeans. So I feel like maybe I should have done that. Hey, I bring greetings not only from Bannockburn Baptist Church in South Austin, but from the Rush family. My wife and I have three girls, 17, 14, and 4.5, so there's all women at my house. No boys, not even a male dog at the Rush house. It's just all girls. I feel like sometime maybe when I was in 7th grade or 6th grade, I probably prayed to God that he would surround me with women. And so you need to be careful, guys, young man, what you pray, because sometimes those things can happen. You know, there's something wonderful about family, isn't it, because they see you for who you are. And my passion, my heartbeat is to connect church life and home life. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. And our family is really locked in right now in some stuff that's going on at Bannockburn. So they couldn't be with me, but I bring you greetings from them. And you know what? If they were here, they could tell you that I'm just like you. We have the same challenges, the same heartaches, the same triumphs. So we're here as kindred spirits, kindred hearts, diving into the Word of God to hear from Him. In fact, one of the great things about kids is they can remind you of your weaknesses, can't they? And they kind of see through anything that the other people might. When my older girls were younger, I can remember we used to sit around the dinner table a lot leading up to a service on Sunday, maybe Wednesday, Thursday night, and I would sort of preach my message to them in brief to sort of just share a devotion, but also to kind of get some of those wonderful little cute statements that only little kids can make. And I remember Riley was 7, Reagan was about 5 at the time. They were very used to this routine. I was going to be speaking out of town. I said, girls, this Sunday I'm preaching on the breakdown of the family. And you know what? There's some real hurts that people experience. And why do you think that is, girls? And they looked at me, and Reagan, who was 5 at the time, set her fork down and she looked me right in the eye. And she said, Daddy, if you don't know what to say, maybe they should just get somebody else to preach. She was very tired of me stealing her material. And I think that's probably true. You know what? This fall, we're going to have a real exciting adventure together with a number of churches around the city called Walls. This is something that I've been looking at for the last few years, recognizing that many people are stuck behind spiritual barriers that keep us from living the life God intended. Well, I can't wait to experience that with you in the fall. I just want to talk about one element of that, one powerful element of Walls and how to overcome them that's very, very, very important. I want to talk about something, in fact, that Pastor Will Davis, who spoke to you a couple of weeks ago, mentioned. He said he believes, and I've heard him say this so many times, that there's a tsunami just off the coast of blessing that's coming, a giant tidal wave of blessing that's headed for Austin, Texas. And I believe that's true. I think we're in for something very, very special. Well, we must never underestimate the power of that blessing, recognizing that I don't think that blessing's going to come to Austin in the form of one giant event. I think it's going to happen through a series of hundreds and thousands of blessings that we pour out from church to church, from person to person, from neighbor to neighbor. And so I want to talk about that very powerful weapon today, the weapon of the blessing. The blessing. Would you find in your copy the Word of God, the book of Ephesians? Ephesians in chapter 5. Verses 1 and 2 is mainly where we're going to camp out today, and we're going to talk about this thing called the blessing. In fact, it's probably important that we don't take for granted what it means to bless somebody. Many of us have used the term blessing in our culture in ways that are positive, but just a little bit off from what it is. For example, in our culture, when somebody sneezes in public, you turn around generally and you say what? Bless you. Nothing, I guess, wrong with that, but it's just a small picture. I don't think it's not really what God had intended for the full magnitude of the blessing. I don't think any of you would say, yes, I feel so blessed because I sneezed in the pharmacy and someone turned to me and blessed me. Surely it means more than that. In fact, if you feel sorry for someone in our culture, what you probably say is what? You say, well, bless your heart. That's what you say. And when we sit down to eat, when we pray, sometimes we call that the blessing. Well, so we have these little trace pictures of the idea of blessing someone that are still part of our culture. But I don't know that we're as proactive as it is supposed to be. You know, the Old Testament word for blessing literally means to bow the knee. The idea of giving honor to somebody. Another word that's used in the scripture for blessing is the idea of placing gold coins on a scale. And keep in mind that when payment was made in the scriptural times, what they would do is actually add weight to the scale, demonstrating that something on the other side of the scale was worth more value. So it's a very significant thing that takes place when we bless someone. For the sake of our time this morning, I want to give a brief definition of the blessing that you can take home with you. And that's why I think this is a simple way to do it. To give a blessing is this. It's to give honor by intentionally ascribing God's promise to another. Let me say that again. To give honor by intentionally ascribing God's promise to another. Notice that definition talks about intentionality. God wants us to be intentional about it. It doesn't happen by accident. You don't sort of fall over yourself and say, wow, look back, I was a blessing to that person. Now, you may be a blessing to them, but the proactive blessing, the biblical blessing, is something that you choose and I choose to do. Notice also that the source of God's blessing comes from God and the promises that he has made. God's promises are powerful. These aren't just empty words or simple compliments that you manufacture yourself. You're taking what God has said and you're declaring it to another person. So even though you're not responsible for God's promises, you have the privilege of sharing those God's promises, of ascribing those promises to someone else. The word ascribe simply means to assign to a source. And that's what you're doing when you bless somebody. You're sharing what God has already said. It's not just wishful thinking. And so the Bible makes it clear that the blessings we offer aren't just repeating some empty words in a simple manner. A blessing in Scripture is more than words. It actually holds the power to bring those promises to fulfillment in the life of another. Can you imagine that God has given us such a tremendous gift to one another? Well, Ephesians 5, chapter 1 is one of the great passages on the blessing. And if you just glance at it, you'll notice in those first two verses of Ephesians 5, the word blessing isn't even used, but it describes the principle of the blessing in an extraordinary way. And I want us to talk about that for the next few moments. Would you look at that passage with me? It says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. Now, if you write in your Bibles, you may underline that phrase, walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Walk in the way of love. I like the way that the NIV translates it there, because it's not just some lovey-dovey greeting card kind of blessing. We're talking about something that is proactive, it's intentional, and it's spoken in love to somebody else. Walk in the way of love. You see, one of the greatest weapons in the arsenal of the believer is the blessing. And many of us have forgotten that this is in our arsenal. It's an amazing passage of Scripture, and I want you to notice several important principles about the blessing in this Scripture that Paul speaks of. First of all, notice that you were created for a blessing. God created you for a blessing. The passage begins, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Now, you know that anytime you see the term therefore in Scripture, you need to look at the biblical context. You need to find out what was written beforehand so you can fully understand the magnitude. Paul is saying, because of what I've already said, this is very important. And in order to investigate that passage, we really need to go all the way back to the beginning and the heart of the book of Ephesians. Flip back to Ephesians chapter 1 with me and verse 3, and you find out what he's talking about when he says, therefore. He says in verse 3 of chapter 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Actually, in the original language, it's the same term, the same root word three times. Blessed be the God and Father. And then he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. You see, God has blessed us. The big idea in Ephesians is that we have been poured upon, showered upon with the blessings of God. And because of that, then Paul takes the time to describe in detail what those blessings are made of. And then he talks about the implications of those blessings to us. And then he talks about how to take those blessings and give them to somebody else. That's what starts happening in Ephesians chapter 5. You were created to bless. God created you to be blessed by him. That's what you were made for. That's what you were set apart for. A couple of years ago, I got a phone call, and I was invited to lead the opening prayer for a very special event that happens in Central Texas during the Memorial Day weekend. Some of you may be familiar with this, but a number of our leaders around the state gather in one of the high school auditoriums here in the area, and they honor those high school graduates who will be going on to our military academies. Very special time. And so you have hundreds of young men and women gathered in one place, all their families, and you have mostly the higher-ups, the highest-ranking generals or officials from the various branches of service. You have a number of elected officials there, and I had the privilege of coming and leading an invocation. While I was there, I brought my dad along because it was a holiday, and he was there at the house, and he's also an Air Force veteran, and he was standing in the back. I went up toward the front. We got in the car afterward. He said, I have to tell you a story. He said, I was standing out in the back by the sign-up table where the graduates who were going on to the military academy were supposed to register and sign in. Everybody had signed in pretty much, and the lady was there, and she was talking to another person next to her and said, you know what, so-and-so hasn't arrived yet. Well, in walks this young man, and he said, hey, I'm so-and-so, and I'm here for the ceremony. And she said, well, we're a little bit running behind. So glad to see you. I was a little nervous. And so then she looked at him, and you need to understand, most of these graduates who were going on to military academies, as you might imagine, were very freshly pressed. They were there for wonderful photo opportunities, for their parents to be proud, as they should have been, what have you. This young man he kind of stuck out in an interesting way because he came in with his shirt untucked. It looked like it hadn't ever been ironed before. He had his sleeves rolled up here, and so he kind of waltzed up to the table. And the lady, as nicely as she could, said, young man, where's your coat? Where's your tie? And he said, I didn't bring that stuff. And she said, well, everybody else has them. And he looked at her kind of incredulously and said, no, this is who I am. And she said, well, okay, why don't you go see if you can find a coat to borrow so you're not the only one. And my dad said to me, as only a veteran of the armed forces could, he said, I would give so much to be with that young man in the first week of his experience at West Point. Because this man had somehow missed the memo that he was set apart for a very special endeavor. He was selected for something that was above and beyond what most people would, and he had forgotten his purpose for being there. But I have a feeling that he would be reminded of it very soon. So many of us have forgotten that we were created for a very special purpose. And that's to be blessed by God. Do you know that God is not looking over you saying, I just can't wait to make him miserable. I just am looking for the opportunity to ruin his or her life. That's not the way that God operates. God wants to bless you. You were created for a blessing. Next, we need to investigate what Paul means by the phrase, follow God's example, right at the beginning of the passage. One of the amazing things about the way God created us is he created us to imitate him. Back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. That's what it means. It means we've been created to reflect the very nature of our Creator. We have to understand who God is to know what's true and to know what God has called us to do and to be. To reflect that, he's created us in his image. So when the scripture says follow God's example, it draws all the way back to creation, this privilege we've had of reflecting God's nature. And it's no coincidence that right after in Genesis chapter 1, it explains to us that we were created in God's image. Guess what he says next? Verse 28 of Genesis 1 says simply this, and God blessed them. We were blessed. We are blessed, and as we have been blessed by God, so we have the privilege of reflecting God's image, his nature before one another, and we have the privilege of blessing others as a reflection of God's blessing, which leads us to the second principle. Not only were you created for a blessing, you were created to bless. Look back at Ephesians 5. It says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love. Because of the power of God's blessing, Paul tells us we should walk in love. I love the way the New Living Translation describes that. It says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. Live a life filled with love. You can't live a life filled with love without living out the blessing. And you cannot live out the blessing without living a life filled with blood, with love. You have been given this incredible power to change lives. God has changed yours, and now he gives you the privilege of changing others in Jesus' name. Now, to be clear, the blessing is not the same thing as flattery. You're not falsely celebrating something that really hasn't come true or isn't something that's accomplished. For example, a son who is lazy, who won't work, who's sponging off his parents. A blessing is not saying, hey, way to go, you're such a hard worker, son. That's not a blessing. That's not even true. But a blessing is speaking real promises that God has made into the life of someone you love, regardless of how far he might be living from those promises. So you imagine that same son, and a blessing would sound like, son, I believe in you. God has uniquely gifted you for service. The scripture says it's true. In fact, the Bible says that he is doing a work in you right now, and he will never leave you. I can imagine the wonderful future you have when you choose to obey the Lord. And son, I want you to know, I love you, and I bless you. And folks, from a scriptural promise, you can know that will have a powerful influence and impact on the ones that you speak it to. If you have a friend in church who's dealing with a specific sin in his life, you don't bless that person by ignoring the sin, but you certainly do bless that person. You can bless her by speaking into her life the promises God has for her. As she seeks the Lord, as she repents, as he turns from those ways and moves towards something else, you still have the power of speaking those promises to someone and changing everything. But it doesn't always have to be corrective. Sometimes it's about making sure that nothing is left unsaid. To say, you know what, Bob, I want you to know something. You are such a blessing to me when you preach and teach, when you teach the Word of God during our small group. I want you to know how much it means. And you know, the Scripture promises a special blessing for those who hunger and who thirst for righteousness. And I want you to know what it means to me. And I want you to know I love you and I bless you. The power of a blessing. The church was intended to be a place where we pour out God's blessings upon one another, and we speak those things intentionally. My friend Dr. John Trent wrote a book about 25 years ago that was just re-released, co-written by Gary Smalley, called The Blessing. And he talks about the idea of picturing a special future for someone, of affirming what God is doing in their lives, of speaking it intentionally into them. There's something about the blessing. But you need to know something right off the bat. For many people, living a life of the blessing, intentionally doing this, is going to be awkward at first. It's not something that comes natural. But just because something's awkward doesn't mean it shouldn't be done. It's something that God has called us to. Listen, some of you are golfers. I'm not a golfer, but I'll tell you the reason I'm not a golfer. It's because I'm really bad at it. That's why I don't golf. It's embarrassing to me. And what drives me crazy about golf is when you go out and you try to play golf, any other sport, you can just try really hard. You can hustle. If you try really hard at golf, you're going to play even worse. It's crazy. The only way I know to get better at golf is to do it many, many times and do it poorly before you do it well. So that's why I don't play. But I'll tell you what, God didn't call me to play golf. He has called me to bless the ones I love, to bless my spouse, to bless my children, to bless my parents, to bless my fellow Christians, my fellow believers, to bless other churches. God has called me to bless, and I might not have to be awkward of it in order to do it. I need to step out and do that. Do you know when Jesus' ministry began, he was baptized, and then immediately, what happened? He was blessed by his Father. There's supposed to be the proactive blessing. Matthew 3:17 says, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Throughout the Bible, we see incredible examples of what happens when people get blessed, and we see these tragic stories over and over what happens when the blessing is withheld. And that begins at home, folks. Parents to children, and children to parents, and spouses to one another. But it doesn't just go home. It extends to the family of God as well. We have the privilege of blessing one another and filling in those gaps. Which brings us to one other principle I think is very important in this passage this morning. You were created for blessing. You were created to bless. And the world is starving for a blessing. Folks, there's too much at stake to keep the blessing to yourself. There's far too much at stake. Now, when people miss out on the blessing, it's not like something they missed out on that they never knew about anyway. There's always a void in the lives of people who have missed the blessing. And when I think about the passage in Genesis 27, where Esau is crying out to his father, I believe he echoes the cries of millions of sons and daughters to follow. Esau said to his father in verse 38 of that passage, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father. And he wept aloud, the scripture says. That's not just some Old Testament anomaly. That speaks across the ages of so many people, some in this room who have missed out on the blessing and are suffering those crippling effects. I've met so many men who live insecure lives because they lack that affirmation that's so biblical and so true. Young women who desperately seek the approval of other men because they missed out on the blessing of their father in their lives. I was with a group of pastors in prayer some time ago, and we were praying for one another. And there was one of the most profoundly energetic, passionate, visionary pastors that I've ever met who was in that circle. And as we prayed for one another, he said, I have a prayer need, a real burden on my heart. He said, all throughout my ministry, I have led and I've had energy, but he said, I've never had somebody in my life, I've never had another man who stood before me and just cheered me on. In fact, I feel like all the men who've been in ministry with me, I've been in competition with. And as his tears streamed down the face of this wonderful, strong leader, he said to us, I just need someone to bless me. One of the great moments I've ever seen was a group of pastors who surrounded that pastor, that man, and blessed him biblically in Jesus' name. I think about another gentleman who's one of the great business leaders that I've ever known, a great attorney who shared with me that when he was born, his father left very soon after. He never really knew his dad. His mother remarried another guy when he was about 6 years old, and he immediately had four step-siblings, and he said he grew up with them, but his stepfather was never really his dad. They didn't have that relationship. And he said when he was 16 years old, he finally got up the guts to sit down with his stepfather. And he said, whatever his name was, Jim, I want you to know something. You know, I'm the only one in the family that has a different last name. And I wonder if maybe you let me take on your last name. He was crying out for the blessing. And his stepfather looked at him and said, son, I want you to know something. I'm pretty much busy with what I have already. No, thank you. And he just crushed him. But then that same man told me, he said, I can remember the day, the hour, the moment. He said, I was 28 years old, and my father-in-law sat down with me, and he looked me in the eye, and he said, I want to tell you something. I love you. I'm so proud of you. I've seen what God has done in your life, and I bless you. It changed his life forever. The power of the blessing. Oh, when the blessing comes, it's a precious, precious thing. And there's so many ways, unique ways, that you can bless. Some of you may have heard last year about a school in Dallas that understood the power of the blessing. It's called Faith Academy. And I want us to look very quickly at how they shared these principles of the blessing in a tangible way.
High school campus. There are students, teachers,
I'm looking for wife.
A computer lab, and a gym. Except here, the students are convicted criminals.
It's an incarceration facility for kids that have violated the law.
Each day starts in a tiny dorm room they call home and continues marching from class to class, abiding by a strict schedule. In fact, the one thing that makes them feel like kids again is football.
I'm just like, you the remote model on campus, you know what I'm saying? Everybody want to play on the football team.
Just to put on a Tornadoes uniform is a reward, not a right. You must have good behavior and good grades. Not to mention, every game is played on the road, but it's worth it to escape on Friday nights and enjoy a small piece of freedom they gave up. But each week, there comes that constant reminder of who they are and what they've done.
They don't treat us as a regular person in the world. They treat us like we're just some alien, just from somewhere out, just out of nowhere.
I mean, they look at us like animals in a cage, like we don't deserve a second chance or another opportunity to be something in life.
After hearing the ridicule and losing 8 straight weeks, the Tornadoes were once again on the road, traveling to play private school power Grapevine Faith for the first time, who had moved up a division. Their head coach, Chris Hogan, had a game plan in mind, and it had nothing to do with football.
We were going to show them that in this country, if you make the right decisions, people will get on your side and support you. And it doesn't matter what your background is, you can make it.
In a selfless suggestion, Coach Hogan sent out an email and requested his fans, his players, parents, do something so out of the ordinary in the football culture. He asked them to cheer for Gainesville State.
These young men will not have any fans outside of the faculty from their own school. Their parents will not be there. I want some Lion fans to sit on the visitor side and cheer for the Gainesville team throughout the game.
I thought, okay, this is cool that Chris wants us to do this leading up to it. But getting there that night, it was so easy to transition from being a fan for the Faith Lions to a fan for the Tornadoes.
You know, the idea of giving and just being there to support those kids, those young men that have never had that before.
So for the first time, the always on the road Tornadoes would feel as if they were at home. And as kickoff approached, it was obvious something was different.
It looked like they thought they were at the wrong end of the field because they know they don't have any fans.
And we were just looking. I just looked. I just kept doing my plays. But I seen how they were split up, but I figured they just didn't have enough room on their side. I want y'all to line up in the line. They're making a spirit line. I like, say, what, coach? What you say? Can you repeat that? And he said, they're making a spirit line for y'all to run through. I like, that's what's up, sir. That's what's up.
When it happened, it was just, it was dynamic. It was one of the most unbelievable things I'd ever seen.
When I ran through this, like, I felt like it was just like some like angels was on me. That's all I felt. I was just running through as fast as I can. I just feel the wind rushing my face.
That feeling of being unleashed lasted throughout the game, and so did the cheers.
We had a penalty like the third play of the game, and I heard booing behind me. I turned around, and it was the Grapevine fans.
I remember when I was making like a play, I made a chalk and people yelling my name. I'm like, I don't even know these people.
They were just like ours that night. I can remember rooting for their little quarterback, and I felt like he belonged to me.
Our kids were their kids, and their kids were our kids, and all kids were the same.
It wasn't enough to lead the Tornadoes to victory. As expected, Grapevine Faith won 33-14, and the Tornadoes finished the season 0-9. But it didn't matter, because for the first time in a long time, someone was in their corner, and that alone was worth celebrating.
I was like, hey, this is going to get close, man. I don't care if we lost tonight, man, because I was feeling good.
But like we were in the Super Bowl championship game or something. Like, we won that. I mean, winning, like, in our heart, spiritual-wise, I mean, we won.
I've been in state championships of different kinds, and there's nothing was like this, nothing.
Isaiah and the rest of the Tornadoes will never forget the feelings they had on that night. And while it didn't erase the mistakes they've made, it showed 14 teenagers that regardless of the bad things they've done in their past, there was reason to look ahead.
I cried. when after the game, I went back to my room, I cried. I think this is your family ain't the only ones that love you. God ain't the only one that love you. Other people love you too.
This is what I was hoping and praying would happen. I hope that it gave them hope.
I see the world in a different way now. I mean, I'll just see, like, I'm the victim no more. So much love because, you know, I came from a broken home family. So, I mean, having all that love, it just rose my spirits up.
They got to be kids that night. They got to be a teenager and experience Friday Night Football in Texas.
You were created for a blessing. You were created to be blessed. And the world is starving for a blessing. You remember how the passage ends that we've been looking at? It says not only that we should imitate God and we should live a life of love, but we do it because Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice for God. It makes so much sense now why so many people are robbed of the blessing, because they have forgotten or they've never known that God has blessed them in the most extraordinary way by sending his son to pay for our sins. You stand here today as one who is blessed and as a candidate for a blessing. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of opening your word this morning. Thank you that we have the access to the most amazing blessing that we could ever imagine in Jesus Christ. Father, forgive us when we keep that blessing to ourselves, when we withhold it from others around us, from our children, from our spouses, from our parents, from fellow church members, Father, from our neighbors and friends and co-workers. Lord, make us an instrument of your blessing to this world. In Jesus' name, amen.